Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Every follower of Jesus is to long for the pure milk of the Word. It's wholesome, it's unadulterated, doesn't need any additives. This is the next step in following Jesus. Jesus says in John 8, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. You've likely heard the saying, you are what you eat, meaning that if we want to be healthy, we need to eat nutritious food. The same is true when it comes to our spiritual health. Followers of Jesus are to crave the life-giving truth of the Word of God as an essential part of our daily life. Let's join Pastor John Monroe as we continue to study Next Steps in Following Jesus.
Do you ever wish your faith was stronger? Why do some people have such a strong and secure faith, whereas others stumble and their faith seems very weak? The key is our relationship with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul writes that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The more you know about God and about the Lord Jesus as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, the greater your faith. Life throws up all kinds of challenges, disappointments, difficulties, and bitter experiences. But those who know God persevere. So, as we continue in the series, Next Steps in Following Jesus, I want to help you study and understand Scripture. You'll never regret the time you spend reading, studying, and obeying the Word of God.
Now, the Bible has always been an important part of my life. Before I could read the Bible for myself, it was read to me by my parents. I was encouraged to memorize the Bible and read it for myself. So whenever I could learn to read, I can't remember how old I was, but from that point, I was encouraged to open a Bible and read it for myself. I remember just before my 17th birthday, just before I was baptized, I went to a Christian bookstore and bought my first Bible. I'd been given Bibles before, but this is one that I particularly wanted. And since then, I've been given and I've bought many, many Bibles. And in God's grace, the Bible has always been central to my life. I can't imagine life without the Word of God. Incidentally, get a good Bible. You're going to spend a lot of time, I hope, reading it. So get a good one. I believe it's one of the most important investments you'll ever make is to buy a Bible. When we moved to the ESV, I bought two of these. I have one in my study at home and one of my study here. And I wish I could wear it out faster because I love buying a new Bible. I just like the smell of that Bible. There is the MacArthur Study Bible, the ESV Study Bible, the Ryrie Study Bible, and buy a Bible. The story is told of Harry Ironside, the great preacher. He was at a Bible conference, and he went down for breakfast, and there was a lady there, all excited because she had read a text that morning on the calendar. And she was saying to Harry Ironside, did you read the Bible this morning? What did you read? And he was a little shy, and then he said, well, what did you read? And she said the particular verse, but pressed him and said, Mr. Ironside, what did you really read in the Bible this morning? He said, well, before breakfast, I read the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters. It was said of Harry Ironside that every year he bought a new Bible. Last week, we learned that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. In the Bible, there is all that you need to know for salvation, all that we need in our spiritual life to grow and to act, whether in the situation we face in our city. When people ask, what do we do? How do we respond? We should go instinctively, not to our feelings, not to our prejudices or desires, but we should go to the Word of God. It alone is the absolute truth. What a precious gift God gives us. And I've wasted my life in many things, but I've never regretted the time I have spent in this book. So I want to encourage you to read and to study the Bible. If you have your Bible there, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's towards the end of the New Testament. I realize some of you don't know much about the Bible. There's an index, and you will see that Peter writes two letters. We're looking at the first one and I'm going to read the first three verses of 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter was one of the followers of Jesus, one of the apostles, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Scripture and says in verse 1, "Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." We saw last week that our spiritual life begins with the Word of God. We are saved by the miracle of the new birth, which comes through the living and abiding Word of God. Look back at chapter 1 from verse 22. Peter says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth." Notice that. By the obedience to the truth. "For a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." He's going to quote the Old Testament now. "For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Isn't that brilliant? All else in life withers and dies. People have their opinions, people have their philosophies, people have their agenda, and we hear it all of the time. Everything withers and dies. But, Peter is saying, the word of the Lord abides forever. And those who are born again, those who have received this salvation through Jesus Christ, who have tasted that the Lord is good, we have this great desire, this longing, as Peter says in verse 2, for this pure spiritual milk, that by it we may grow up to salvation. How am I going to grow spiritually? Answer, through the Word of God. And here, Peter uses an analogy we all understand. He uses the analogy of a newborn baby longing for milk. Mothers, you know that a baby's strong desire, newborn baby, isn't for the fancy nursery that you've prepared, or a cute pair of pajamas, or a soft toy. Its overwhelming desire is for milk. So you don't give your newborn a donut or a T-bone steak or a packet of M&Ms. Absolutely not. This little baby, this little boy, this little girl wants the mother's pure milk. And when a baby doesn't get milk, you know all about it. And really, raising a baby is very easy, I am told. As long as you provide the baby with milk and clean up the consequences of it, everything is fine. You've got a happy little baby. You get the point? And as mothers, you are delighted when that baby wanted your milk. And you were very concerned if that newborn baby didn't want your milk. Every follower of Jesus is to long for the pure milk of the Word. Notice Peter says it's pure, it's wholesome, it's unadulterated, doesn't need any additives. This is the next step in following Jesus. Jesus says in John 8, verse 47, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God." Do you want to be of God? Do you want to be godly? You want to make an impact for your world? In the name of Jesus Christ, you must hear the words of God. If you don't have that desire, if you're not longing for the pure milk of the Word, can I say to you, the problem is not with this book. The problem is with your spiritual appetite. Over the years, Goodney and I have invited many people to our home for a meal. I always say to Goodney, "I'm the entertainment, you provide the meal." I keep out of the kitchen, and she often says, "Well, what are you going to do with these people you've invited?" I said, "Don't worry about it. I'm not worrying about the food. You don't worry about what I'm going to say to them." It's a great marriage. But I know some of you men really cook. I admire you. Nathaniel, who was here, he keeps telling me he's a great cook. I just look up to men like that. I wish I was like that, but I'm not. But very occasionally, we'll have someone into our house for a meal, and they don't eat. They turn up their nose. I don't think the problem is the food. the problem is their appetite. Before coming to her home, perhaps they've stopped and eaten a Big Mac or bought some donuts or something. They don't have an appetite, or they may have an eating disorder. They're either eating too much or too little or the wrong thing. We know physically, if we don't have a balanced diet, problems develop. We all know the dangers of junk food, don't we? So if you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, here is my diagnosis. You're taking in too much junk food. There's a spiritual disease. A spiritual disease, something going on in your life, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, which is impacting your appetite for spiritual food. Perhaps you're taking in the wrong stuff. And instead of spending time in this book, you're spending time taking in something which is contrary and inconsistent with you being a follower of Jesus. When I begin to lose my desire to read the Word of God, as happens from time to time, I have found one of two things happening in my life, or possibly both of them. First, I've been reading the Bible as a task to be accomplished rather than as a delight to be enjoyed. So we're told, read your Bible. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible. But it's become a task rather than a delight. Secondly, in all probability, some sin has crept into my life. Some sin which I've not confessed. Some sin which I've not dealt with. It's come into my life. It has been well said that this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the book. Your word, says the psalmist, I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus, as he's in dialogue with Pilate, you remember in John chapter 18, when Pilate asks him about truth, Jesus says to him in John 18, verse 37, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. What a powerful statement. You want truth? You want to know what God thinks on a particular subject? You want to know how you can handle something? Jesus is saying, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. If you're not listening to the voice of God, you're going to be listening either to your own feelings or listening to other voices. That happens so easily, doesn't it? We are inundated with noise. There's opinions. And we live in a very, very noisy world. It is essential, brothers and sisters, that we take time every single day, yes, every day, to get into this book. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. It is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. You want a shield? You want protection? You want to know that things are going to go well in your life? The Word of God is a very shield to me. If I adjust my life and align my life with the Word of God, I am guaranteed of God's blessing. It's a light and it is a lamp. And so when at home you open your Bible, or when I say, let's open our Bibles, you should come with a sense of excitement. What is God going to speak to me today? The psalmist certainly delights in the law of the Lord. He says that, Psalm 119, over and over again. Here's two examples of it. Psalm 119, verse 97. He says, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Can you really say that you love the Word of God? Verse 111. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Some of you are looking forward to kickoff at 1 o'clock. You're looking forward to 1 o'clock. Do you look forward to the time in the Word? Do you look forward to the preaching of the Word? Do you look forward to that Bible study? The psalmist says God's Word is sweeter than the honeycomb. It's more precious than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. You say, John, I wish I had that joy. I wish I had such a delight in the Word of God. I don't just have it. Well, that may be true. There may be sin in your life. Cut out the spiritual junk food. Cut out the pollution. All that stuff you're feeding on. Turn off that iPhone. Turn off all the television and the videos and just get alone with the Word of God. And the more you read it, the greater will be your joy. Now, I want to say five things about studying the Word of God very quickly this morning. First of all, focus on the text of Scripture. When studying the Bible, focus on the text. First of all, read the Word of God and humbly hear the Word of God. Have this desire to listen to God. You're at home now and you open your Bible. Do you realize that God speaks to you in His Word? When the Bible speaks, God speaks. Are you listening? Are you focused? Are you concentrating? When I practiced law and someone died and we brought out the will and the relatives were there, we always said where there was a will, there was a relative. And so as we got out the will, I never once had to say to the greedy relatives, now listen. Listen to what Dad said in his will, or listen to what Granddad said. No, they're listening. They're listening for their name. They're listening for the amount. You don't have to say to them, concentrate. No, they're there. Why? They're expecting something. That's part of our problem, is we don't expect God to speak to us. We don't expect a blessing. We don't expect that promise that we need so desperately for that day. Now, let me say something very, very important. I'm talking about studying the Bible. I'm asking you to focus on the text of Scripture. Devotional Bible study guides, videos, and all of that have their place. I have a huge library, so I'm not against books. I'm not against study guides. But I'm going to say this to you. And I've said this before, and some of you don't believe me. Nothing can substitute you, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Can you not just read the Bible? We say, oh, I've got the study guide, fill in the blanks. I mean, who cares about filling in the blanks of the study guide? It has a place, I understand it. Some of you love them, it's great. But, you know, you can study the study guide. You can read the book about the Bible. You can read what someone says about the Bible, but there is nothing like you, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. That should be one of the most delightful, joyful things that you do on any day. Be a self-feeder. Read the Bible, not just what someone says about it. Read it. And reread it, and reread it, focused on the text of the Bible. Several times in the Gospels, Jesus says, have you not read the Scripture? Oh, they had read it, but they didn't penetrate, they didn't understand. You say, John, no, you're a pastor, and we actually pay you to study the Bible, and that's what you do up in your office all day, obviously. That's a dream, you know? That I would just have time upstairs to study my Bible all day. It must be great. My life is busy. Your life is busy. Now, supposing you can only spend 15 minutes a day. Do you know how many minutes there are in a day? 1,440 minutes, 24 hours. You say, well, I sleep. Yeah, well, you can sleep. Sleep as long as you like. But 15 minutes. Is there anyone here so busy doing God's will, doing God's work, that they don't have time to spend 15 minutes in this book? Don't tell me you're too busy. You're too busy for God. You've got other priorities. You'll think nothing of spending several hours watching a video, watching a game, working out at the gym, whatever it is. No, quieten yourself. Get into a quiet place and open this book. Start, say, with the book of Philippians. It only has four chapters. You can read it in one sitting, just a few minutes. Don't just read a verse. Read it. You say, what do I do the next day? Read it again. The third day, read it again. The fourth day, read it again. The fifth day, read it again. The sixth day, read it again. And now you're beginning to understand it. Philippians to you is not just taking a verse. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're understanding the context in which Paul says that. You're now beginning to understand Philippians. You're getting away from our habit to take some isolated text and make it say anything you want and to ignore the context. Read the Bible in a natural way. Much of the Bible is not difficult to understand. Yes, there are difficult parts, but don't allow what you don't understand to take away what you do understand. Focusing on the text of Scripture, it requires concentration. Listening to preaching takes concentration, but it is essential that you focus when reading and studying the Bible. I ask myself, why is it that some television preachers and other preachers who spend no time in a serious exposition of the Word of God attract thousands of people? You ever ask yourself that? I do. Because they claim that God is speaking directly to them. They say they're going to share their hearts. To me, that's always a little dangerous, isn't it? Sharing my heart. Jeremiah says, your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Do you really want to share your heart? I don't know if I want to hear your heart. I want to hear from God. But they say they're sharing their hearts, sharing their vision, sharing their agenda, sharing their dreams, sharing their journey. That requires no study, and there's no way of evaluating what they're saying is true or just a scam to get you to send money to their ministry. Today, we're awash in emotionalism. We're awash in subjectivism. We're awash in people saying, God told me to tell you. If I followed what I have been told over the years of what somebody told God to tell me, I would be going in 1,000 directions. I want to hear from God myself. I don't need you to tell me what God told you to tell me. If it's in the Word of God, give me the Scripture. Focus on Scripture. Not your own ideas. Not some impression. Something which is absolute truth. It is only God's Word which is absolute truth. First, focus on the text of Scripture. Read the Word of God. And humbly hear the Word of God. Have this desire to listen to God.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a lesson on the importance of Scripture in our daily lives. John will be back with more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. As a thank you to our listeners, we'd like to offer you a special resource that goes hand in hand with our current series on Next Steps in Following Jesus. It's a free booklet by John, focused on the teaching of Jesus on what it means to follow Him. It walks you through Scripture and is packed with insightful practical notes that will help you grow in your walk with Christ. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and you can request your free copy today by going to our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. While you're online, you also have the chance to take a new step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting the work of our ministry. You can join our efforts to share God's Word today by sending a financial gift of any amount. Just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And then before we close, we also want to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina. Come visit us in person this Sunday morning or join us from wherever you are through our live stream online. For more details about our services or any of our ministries, just visit our website at calvarychurch.com. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Over the last week, how much time have you spent reading the Word of God? As well as listening to biblical preaching, it's essential that each one of us spend time alone with the Word of God. And a wonderful thing will happen. The more you read the Holy Scriptures, the greater your desire to read more. So today, tomorrow, and the next day, spend time in God's Word. Will you do that? And don't forget to tune in next time as we continue this all-important subject of Holy Scripture.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.